Penguin Random House Audio presents Foxglove Summer by Ben Aronovich. Read for you by Cobner Holdbrook Smith.
Part 1. The Borderlands. In folded days of the King Arthur, of which that Briton speak in great honour, all was this land fulfilled of fair ye. The elf queen with her jolly company danced full oft in many a green mead. The Wife of Bath's Tale, Geoffrey Chaucer. Chapter 1. Due Diligence. I was just passing the Hoover Centre when I heard Mr. Punch scream his rage behind me. Or it might have been someone's brakes, or a distant siren, or an Airbus on final approach to Heathrow. I'd been hearing him off and on since stepping from the top of a tower block in Elephant and Castle. Not a real sound, you understand. An impression, an expression through the city itself, what we might call a super vestigia, if Nightingale wasn't so dead set against me making up my own terminology. Sometimes he's in a threatening mood. Sometimes I hear him as a thin wail of despair in amongst the wind moaning around a tube train. Or else he's pleading and wheedling in the growl of late night traffic beyond my bedroom window. He's a mercurial figure, our Mr. Punch, as changeable and as dangerous as an away crowd on a Saturday night. This time, it was rage and petulance and resentment. I couldn't understand why, though. It wasn't him who was driving out of London. As an institution, the BBC is just over 90 years old, which means that Nightingale feels comfortable enough around the wireless to have a digital radio in his bathroom. On this, he listens to Radio 4 while he's shaving. Presumably, he assumes that the presenters are still safely attired in evening dress while they tear strips off whatever politician has been offered up as early morning sacrifice on the Today programme, which is why he heard about the kids going missing before I did. This surprised him.
I was under the impression that you quite enjoyed the wireless first thing in the morning, he said, over breakfast, after I told him it was news to me. I was doing my practice, I said. In the weeks following the demolition of Sky Garden Tower, with me on top of it, I'd been a key witness in 3 separate investigations, in addition to one by the Department of Professional Standards. I'd spent a great deal of each working day in interview rooms in various nicks around London, including the notorious 23rd floor of the Empress State Building, where the Serious Investigations Branch of the DPS keeps its racks and thumbscrews. This meant that I'd gone into the habit of getting up early to do my practice and getting some time in the gym before heading off to answer the same bloody question 5 different ways. It was just as well, since I hadn't exactly been sleeping well since Leslie had tasered me in the back. By the start of August, the interviews had dried up, but the habit, and the insomnia, had stuck. Has there been a request for assistance? I asked.
With regard to the formal investigation, no, said Nightingale. But where children are concerned, we have sudden responsibilities.
There were 2 of them. Both girls. Both aged 11. Both missing from 2 separate family homes in the same village in North Herefordshire. The first 999 call had been at just after 9 o'clock the previous morning, and it first hit media attention in the evening when the girls' mobile phones were found at a local war memorial over 1,000 metres from their...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?